I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Acts 11, 1 through 18. And now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why do you go to the uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began explaining to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. And as I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up into heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. And the Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of God, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "When God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, John. Ever met someone who doesn't like to share, who wants to keep everything to themselves, and they feel like they take ownership, or they have taken ownership of something even like the Word of God? You know, there are people who really can't see the big picture when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, who really can't see the big picture when we hear that the disciples were sent out to the Gentiles, that Paul came and had to point out to the disciples, this isn't something owned by the Jewish community. The Word of God is for everyone. I mean, we are a people, generally speaking, who like to build walls between us and those that we don't want to associate with. Peter finds himself facing that very situation, and they're saying, "Well, we're circumcised, we're different. So you can't go to anyone else because they're not like us." What do you think about that? Why would you go, they're asking, to the uncircumcised and eat with them? And don't mix. Good Lord, we don't want to mix with other people. In other words, and you could put it in the vernacular that they're saying to Peter, "Peter, you moron, why would you go to people outside of your own group?" Peter found himself on the defense with his own people. You know, there's something to be said for membership, and I think it's a great thing for country clubs. You know, country clubs have membership. And if you're not a member, you don't get to go. And other organizations, if you're not a member, you don't get to go. That is not Christianity. Such is not the case. We don't require membership. In fact, there are people who go to church their entire lives and never join. It's nice if they do. Love to have them, but that's not required to be a Christian. Well, this is what we're hearing the believers who were in Judea say to Peter: they are not one of us. They don't have membership. Well, I'm going to share with you a story about a person that maybe some of you have heard of. He had a book out called The Americanization of Edward Bach, and it was by Edward Bach. And Edward Bach was actually the editor at one time of the Ladies' Home Journal. And he tells a story about his grandfather, who was Danish, and back in the day, his grandfather was sent by the king of Denmark to stop pirates. So the father took his troops out to this island, this barren island, and set up his command headquarters. And in a short time, in less than a year, he had abolished and gotten rid of all the pirates. So he goes back to the king, and the king's very pleased, of course. And the king says, well, what would you like? He says, I want that island. The king said, why? It's barren. There's nothing there. And he says, because I think it can be something, and I want to make it something. So the king gives it to him. He goes back to that island, and upon returning, he gets everything fixed up and to the point where he can finally bring his wife. And so his wife joins him out there on this barren island. And before you know it, they started putting in plants and trees and shrubs and grass. And they fought with the weather on and off going over the island. But it finally took root. And before you knew it, they heard birds singing. There had never been birds on the island. But once they had the trees, the grass, and all the plants and shrubs, birds started coming. Eventually, the island became a show place. A show place. And thousands of tourists go every year. When the grandfather died, he requested that the following words be on his tombstone: make the world a bit more beautiful and better because you have been in it. Isn't that what Jesus told the disciples? Make the world a better place because you've been in it. So when these people are saying, don't do that, you don't want to go out and get Gentiles. Peter says, I want to make the world a better place. Well, the story actually didn't end there. The fact is the grandson, as you heard me mention earlier, he decided that he wanted to be an American citizen. He came to America. He went to Florida, of all places. And as he was there in Florida, living in Florida, he saw Iron Mountain, elevation 324 feet above sea level. It's the highest point in Florida. Immediately he thought to himself, why don't I repeat what my grandfather did? So he got on the Iron Mountain and he started gardening and planting and growing and turned it into a beautiful place that thousands of visitors go to see every year. And it's called Mountain Lake Sanctuary, Lake Wells, Florida. And upon his death, he willed it to the state of Florida. And guess what he asked to be put on his tombstone? Make the world a bit more beautiful and better place because you have been in it. If that doesn't send the gospel message, I don't know what does. Make the world a better place. When Jesus walked this earth, do you think that he was an elitist? Did Jesus say, I'm only going to go to those who are Jews? I'm only going to go to the circumcised? Is there anywhere in the Gospels you see that? If you're not like us, I don't want you. Never heard Jesus say that. Or was he a man of the people who said, come, be a part of my Father's kingdom and make the world a better place by serving the Lord? All too often throughout history, churches have become elitist. And in fact, some still do. If you're not like us, you're against us. If you don't see things the way we do, if you don't baptize the way we do, if you don't take communion the way we do, you're not a real Christian. Is that any different than circumcision? Keep in mind, there is absolutely no basis for this in the teachings of Jesus. None. Let me say that again. There is no basis in the teachings of Jesus for being elitist. Do we begin to believe that we have the mind of God, that we know what God's thinking? Well, God wouldn't want those people in our church. Well, God wouldn't want this. How do we know? You know who knew? Jesus. And Jesus says, go into the world. Get them all. Everyone. Everyone is a child of God. And I'm going to tell you a story. And I want you to think about this. It's about the Navy SEALs. Their motto is, the only easy day was yesterday. That's their motto. But when you become a Navy SEAL, you train for 24 weeks. 24 weeks. But it doesn't stop there. Because then you have more training. It actually takes a year to complete, because then you got basic underwater demolition, basic parachutist, and then you've got SEAL qualifications training. By the time you're done, it's been a year since you've been trained. Young people join the SEALs and they want very much to be a SEAL, but they are never told they are a SEAL during that training. It never happens. It's not until graduation day, when they finally completed all of their training, then they will have an officer come up to them and say to them, congratulations, you are a SEAL, and then give them a patch to put on their uniform. And that sounds elitist, doesn't it? But it's not. They earned it. But here's the thing. What if we, in order to be Christian, had to go through training for a year? How many of us would survive it? What if we were told to go into the world and part of our training was is to accept everyone, to love everyone, to help everyone? Would you survive that training? At the end of a year, would you see the Lord walk up and give you your patch and say, you are now a Christian? How many of you would sign on to be a Christian if that were the case, if you actually had to go through training, which at one time in the history of the church, people did. They had to go through training. How many of you, of us, would be willing to spend a year learning only what Jesus taught? Forget the letters of Paul and all other letters in the Old Testament. You take Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, that's your training. And for 1 year, you've got to follow everything that Jesus teaches. You know, love others as yourself. Love your neighbor as self. Accepting others different from you. Feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, welcoming a stranger, clothing the naked, taking care of the sick, visiting those in prison. How many of us would survive that? Come you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And how about this? As he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples. for there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners." If our church, if our ministry were all outside of this church and we had to actually serve the people in the community, as we do with Randy Sams and our Christmas dinner, would you sign up for that? Can't hang around each other. It's not a country club. You got to get out there. You got to do it. Where does that put us? Would being with what others perceive as sinners be an option for us to minister to? Are you willing to be a physician to the sick, or do you just want to hang out with your country club members? It's more comfortable. It's a lot more comfortable to sit in this sanctuary and be with people of like mind. It's not where Jesus went. Even his disciples got upset with the people that Jesus hung out with. Jesus did not and would not have preached putting up borders or barriers. He promoted tearing them down. This is precisely what Peter tells those who would chastise him. Notice that even before Peter got his vision, God had already visited Cornelius at his house. Acts 10, 1 through 8. In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian cohort, as it was called. He was a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed constantly to God. One afternoon at about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he clearly saw an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." He stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" He answered, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa for a certain Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside." When the angel who spoke to him had left, he called two of his slaves and a devout soldier from the ranks of those who served him, and after telling them everything, he sent them to Joppa. God had already visited Cornelius, and he said, "I want you to go out there, and I want you to get these people. Simon, Peter, bring him, because he's going to help you." And then he goes to Peter, and he says, "Peter, when these men come, you need to go." But the circumcised said, "Don't do it." It should just be us. We're happy. Now, if that doesn't boggle your mind, I'll tell you something that might. If you know this story, after Jesus ascended, the 11 disciples that were left started their community called The Way in Jerusalem. They didn't go anywhere. They didn't go out to get anybody. They stayed right there and said, "Hey, if you want to be part of us, bring all your stuff. Bring it, give it to the community, and we'll meet it out as needed." It wasn't until Paul showed up and said, "Really? You think that the Lord came so you could start a country club right here in Jerusalem? Get up, get out, get the others, get the Gentiles." And they said, "Oh no, they're not like us." You walk and talk with somebody, you tell them the rules, and then they go back to the way they were. God cleared a path for Peter to follow. God is saying, "Include everyone, Peter, not just the circumcised, for all are my children." All too often, we like to think of the teachings of Jesus as the past. You know, that was then, this is now. We can't actually be inclusive now. But he could do that back then. But Jesus' teachings are for all times. Peter eventually learned just because Jesus ascended doesn't mean his teachings ascended with him. When Jesus left, he didn't take those teachings with him and say, okay, you don't have to do anything now. Peter and the other disciples, you may remember, sat there in Jerusalem. And Paul said, take the gospel into the world. It took them a while, but they came around. I can tell you, if Paul had not come along, this church wouldn't be here today. The church, as we know it, would have only been in Jerusalem, maybe. Or maybe it wouldn't have survived. It was Paul who told them, why are you hindering God? So when Peter said he had to go, the circumcised said, don't do it. They're not like us. And he said, why are you hindering God? Is there any one of us in this sanctuary today who is big enough to hinder God? Paul told them that Jesus told them, you are his eyes and ears and his feet and hands. Now go. Paul understood that, and he didn't walk with him, but he understood the message. So I ask you today, in this sanctuary, is your training complete? Do you really understand the gospel? Or do you say, yeah, I like this because Jesus said this, but this part I'm not comfortable with. I don't think I want to do that. In other words, I don't want to include everybody. I just like the way things are right now. Are you ready to go into the world preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or do you want to sit in a sanctuary and pretend that you're followers of the way in Jerusalem and not have to do a thing? Just say hi to those who come through the door. If we do that, there is absolutely no doubt that we are hindering God. Why not make the world a better place because we're in it? Jesus did. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come today knowing that oftentimes we've let you down. We've wanted to be exclusive, not inclusive. We've turned people away because they're not like us, or because we don't believe the way they do. Lord, we know that everyone on this earth is your child and is worthy of love, is worthy of forgiveness, is worthy of inclusiveness. For if they want to walk in your name and they choose to follow your Son, they're one of us. Let us include them, regardless of where they are, regardless of race, creed, color, as long as these folks want to follow you, let us reach out and bring them in. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's word is brought to you.